Magnificent God. I am, you know, the Bible says ask for rain in the time of rain. And I think we need to make sure that we are awake to what is really happening here. God is moving. God is moving. And there is such a glory that's being poured out. You know, this is the time when it is so easy to reach out and see people get saved. Hallelujah. You know, and during this time, don't sit back and just go, yeah, God, that's great. But recognize this is your time to jump in and be moved by the Holy Ghost. He wants to help you. Hallelujah. I might just get someone to turn that fan off for me. You know, we've got treasure hunting happening tomorrow. You don't have to be part of the youth to come to the treasure hunt, which is from 4 till 6. If you're thinking, I want to get involved, I want to start seeing people to come to Jesus, go out with somebody who knows what they're doing, who's done it before, and go out and see the Lord move. He's so walking with anybody who'll just step out and do it. Isn't that right? It's just such a delight. And you know, if you want to see your prophetic gift sharpened, there's no better place to do it than out in the marketplace. Hallelujah. And so we want to encourage you to do that. And we want to hear the testimonies too. Come and tell me what's going on. I love to hear about people getting saved, people getting healed, people coming to Christ and the supernatural things that God's doing, because I love to hear the testimonies. It's just, we've got to encourage one another in what the Lord's doing and stir it up, because this is really exciting. Hallelujah. God is on the move. This is not a time to sit back and allow the enemy to separate you off. This is a time when God wants to come in and breathe on what he's doing. And he's looking for people who run with him. You know, when the wave's coming, what you've got to do is make sure that you're paddling. Hallelujah. You've got to make sure that you're swimming and you're moving in the same direction, and God will pick you up and take you on, because it's so exciting. Hallelujah. Well, I'm really happy to be here. I am very happy to be here, because I want to be in the middle of what God's doing, and I know that God is moving. And I've been preaching nearly every day for the last 2 weeks over in the US. Had 2 days off, and some days preaching 3 times a day. But the people were so hungry, and it was such a delight for me, as well as going into the conference and doing the conference at Daystar. I really enjoy going into the denominational churches, the Methodists and the Church of God and the different ones. That's really fun for me, because the people get so excited when they hear God move, and when they get a prophetic word, that they are so overwhelmed that God would speak to them, or they see the Holy Spirit move and someone gets slain in the Spirit, and they're just, whoa, God's here. And things that we take for granted, I just get really excited about. Hallelujah. And so I had young Sarah Cheeseman with me. She's still there. I didn't accidentally forget her. She's visiting her brother for a couple of days, and she did so well. I know that Jesse will be very happy to have her home tomorrow morning. Did you enjoy Rory Moore when he came? Well, he's going to be here Sunday, 4 o'clock, so bring a whole bunch of people, because he's flying back from Perth just to be with us this weekend before he goes home. So that's exciting. I know that he's an amazing man of God, and it's a joy to have him here. Ha shalom moho korea. I've been enjoying my time with God today, just getting alone with God. I flew in yesterday and had a good sleep last night. Thank you, Jesus. But I was enjoying spending some time with God today. And I like to have my Fridays just me and God. You know, I set it aside. I don't have any meetings as far as possible. I just try and make sure I've got time just to soak in his presence. And I know that's a luxury that not everybody gets, but I really enjoy it. So thank you, Jesus, for your presence. But as I was praying, I felt the Lord speak to me from Psalm 57. If you want to have a look there with me. Hallelujah. We saw so many people give their lives to Jesus. We saw so many people baptized in the Holy Ghost, and some amazing healings and testimonies of more than I can go into tonight. Of people being touched by the Holy Spirit and set free and healed. You know, this is a time where there's so much going on that it's overwhelming. You know, like they'd say in the scriptures, that we were as though we would people who were dreaming. And I feel like that is what we are walking into right now. But at the same time, we've got to recognize that God is moving and that we've got to move with him. But I was looking here in Psalm 57. Hallelujah. It says here, this is a psalm that David wrote when he'd fled from Saul into the cave. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I'll take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. You know, I was thinking about this. I love the story of David. It's such an incredible, incredible story and something that can really encourage us. You know, David was here. He was hiding from the man that should have been celebrating what God was doing. Saul has slain his thousands. David has slain his tens of thousands. And Saul could not handle that God was moving in David's life. And David was then being pursued. He was being hunted. He was being lied about. He was being slandered. He was being painted as somebody that was rebellious. He was, and he was hiding in the cave with his army right at the back of the cave, and Saul's army was there. And he had the opportunity, if he wanted to fight back. Now, I've shared before from the story in 1 Samuel 17 where David comes up as a fresh-faced young guy, and Goliath's been there intimidating the army for days, and the Israelites are terrified. And David comes up and goes, what's the deal? Like, we got an uncircumcised Philistine coming against the armies of the living God. This is awesome. Who gets to take the giant out? And they began to tell him, well, you know, the king said, if anybody can take him out, they'll do this and he'll do this and he'll do this. And David's like, you're for real? Like, come on. Like, who's doing it? I'll do it if no one else is doing it. That's awesome, because God's with us. We have his promises. He is faithful to us. God is with us. This Philistine has no covenant with God. Like, done deal. Let's do it. And it really upset his older brother, Eliab. Eliab started hearing what his brother carrying on and talking about how exciting this is. Let's see God do a miracle here. Let's see the giant come down. And Eliab speaks to David and he says, I know what's in your heart. You just came down to see the battle. I know you really got a wicked heart. And you know, that can be really hurtful when you're trying to step out and you're getting excited about what God's doing, and then somebody that you want to respect, you want to encourage you, somebody that's a bit, maybe a little bit older, comes in and says, or has been in ministry longer, comes in and starts accusing you and saying, actually, you know, you shouldn't be getting so fired up and excited. You know, I really know what's in your heart. You're like this. You've got these wrong motives. And, you know, if you're soft and you're sensitive or you're prophetic, it can, oh, is that true, God? Oh, no. It can send you in a tailspin for days where you go into depression and look at yourself, oh, God, is it true? Oh, really, I shouldn't be doing this. I must be proud. This must be my issue. I have to deal with my flesh. And then you try and kill the flesh, and you realize you can't kill the flesh, and you try, and then you feel really bad because you can't kill the flesh, and, oh, God, wretched man that I am. Some in the Bible somewhere. Romans 7. But thanks be to God, there's no condemnation. Hallelujah. The enemy is always trying to get us off track, and he's always trying to get you to look at yourself and look at and try and examine your motives. And God just says, look up, forget about your motives, and just receive mine. Hallelujah. He just wants you to stop fussing and worrying about, am I good enough? Is it really me? Have I got this issue? Have I got that? And if you in your own strength are trying to deal with your issues, you are really going to be disappointed. I've tried. If you try and deal with your issues and your motives and your sin, you're going to live in a world of guilt and shame and condemnation. Only Jesus was able to set us free from sin and shame and guilt. And he says that he gives us a new nature. Hallelujah. So we can receive his nature. If you're struggling with stuff and you know, yes, I shouldn't be doing that. Oh God, I've got this happening. Go, okay, Lord, I thank you that I'm crucified with you. I'm raised up with you, Lord, that you've given me a new nature. Your nature is perfect. I just receive your strength. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I receive your nature. That's good. Hallelujah. So David comes in as a picture of the new breed. And we've got to understand in the scripture that God is speaking to us prophetically, even through this story that was written so long ago. And he comes in and Eliab says, oh, I know what's in your heart. And David had the opportunity to retaliate. He could have gone to Eliab and just started to get into a war of words with him. He could have said, that's just so unfair that you're criticizing me. You don't really know what's in my heart. You're just jealous of me. I know because Samuel anointed me and he didn't anoint you. And you've always been jealous of me. And it's so unfair. And he could have even ended up in a fist fight with Eliab. And he would have missed the main event. He turned around to Eliab and he says, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? And he turned around and he began to talk about, tell me again what happens to the guy that gets to take out the giant? He didn't even pay attention to the trap that the enemy had set for him. The enemy is always trying to set traps to grab your attention, and oftentimes it'll be just stuff. I have spent way too much time writing speeches that I'd like to make that seem very justified. You know, if I even says this, I'm going to say this and da da da, and I pretend and I practice it and I. And then I was doing this a few nights ago. I was making a speech about somebody that had done something, and I was going to tell them, you know, what I thought, and felt justified. It felt really right. And I was making this speech, and then as I was making this speech, I'd just finished preaching, I was tired making this speech, didn't have Tom with me, so he didn't have time to set me straight, and I am so blessed with an amazing husband, hallelujah. And as I'm making my speech, the Lord says, are you finished? I said, yes. And I'd been rehearsing this speech in my head about I wanted to tell this man that, you know, he shouldn't have done this, and, you know, there's no way that I'd have you come and minister in my church because of this and this and this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm making this speech, and the Lord says, are you finished? And I said, yes, Lord. And then he just said, I've forgiven him. Say anything like, you need to forgive him, you shouldn't be doing that, you should. All he did was just mention, you know, I've forgiven him. It's the nature of God, you know. Instead of trying to tell me what to do, he just mentioned what he'd done. And all of a sudden I realized I was just caught in an Eliab trap. Here was I, spending my thought and my time and my energy retaliating and fighting back when God didn't ask me to fight that battle. Hallelujah. Here in verse 50, in Psalm 57, David's in the same sort of predicament. Saul's out there. It is incredibly unjust what is going on. David should not be being pursued. He should not have his own people rallied against him to come and fight against him. And he could very easily have gone out and fought against Saul. But instead, here he is hiding back in the cave, hoping that he won't be found because he doesn't want to fight against the Lord's anointed. And yet he's in this incredible situation where it's an unjust situation where he could justifiably fight back, but he's choosing not to. But he doesn't do nothing. This is what he does do. He fights the good fight of faith. He says here, I cry out to you, God Most High, you who fulfills your purpose for me. You know, when we are faced with those sort of situations where we're tempted to get in and fight with the flesh, to build a team and to come against what's coming against us, God is looking to show himself strong on our behalf. He says here, I'm going to take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster is past. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. He sends his love and his faithfulness. You know, I believe that we need to recognize how for us God really is. God is so for you, who can be against you? God is with you. Is this right? Is that the truth? So we need to recognize the traps that get set for us. Has anybody else got a sense of justice? Hallelujah, that sometimes gets offended? Thanks, Rochelle. You know, we've got to be alert and recognize that the enemy is always out on the prowl trying to distract you. He's terrified of this army that's being mobilized. It's like, oh, what are we going to do? There's another one going out and leading people to Jesus. What are we going to do? And God's wanting to release dreams, and we're dreaming about taking whole communities for Jesus. We're dreaming the dreams of God. And so the enemy wants instead, how am I going to get their attention? So what he does is he tries to get us with things that seem just. Fights that seem like they're worth fighting. But in fact, God wants you to fight the fight in faith, in his faithfulness. He wants you to, instead of retaliating with your words or with your actions, with your responses, he wants you to look to him and say, Lord, I'm putting my faith in you. You who began a good work in me, you're going to carry it through to completion. You who have purposed it will also do it. Hallelujah. You fulfill your purposes for me, God. And when I'm traveling, I always... get whoever's with me, traveling with me, to play a game with me over breakfast every morning. Because I like to make sure that I set the tone for the day. And this is what we do. Sarah can tell you about it, and Sheila Williams from Atlanta was traveling with me every day. And over breakfast, what we'd do is we'd go around the circle, and I'd get them to declare something, begin to just speak out that which be not as though it was. And to begin to speak out the dreams of their heart as though they were realities. Because God delights in us rejoicing in his faithfulness and making warfare, not with our human fleshly responses, but with faith in his goodness, faith in his faithfulness. Hallelujah. So we'll go around the circle and begin to say things like, people get out of wheelchairs when I walk into the meetings. Hallelujah. Or I'll walk through a shopping center and people will fall out under the presence of God and sense his presence and cry out to him and get saved. And you know, God likes that sort of thing. He likes you to begin to speak out and declare the things that he's put in your heart. He wants you to begin to warfare with his faithfulness. But you know, when something comes against you and you've got an unjust situation, has anybody in the room ever faced an unjust situation? Maybe one or two of you can be helped with what I have to say tonight. But I believe that when you are facing something that is tempting you to react, we need to be careful to begin to look at what the purposes of God in the midst of it are. You know, the Bible says that he makes all things work together for our good, for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Do you know what? You love him and you are called according to his purpose if you are born again. So don't stumble over that and go, I don't know if I'm really called to his purposes. I'm a bit of a wreck at the moment, or maybe I'm not qualified to inherit that promise. Anybody else ever struggled with those sort of thoughts? You know, there seems like the promises and then the condition. I don't quite meet the condition. I'm just trying to help you, okay? You meet the conditions if you're saved. Hallelujah. Because you are a co-heir with Christ of all the promises. They're yes and amen for you. No questions asked. Hallelujah. That's going to really help some people. I think if you look at it, you'll see that I'm telling the truth. He said that you now, when you've been born again, You've been raised up with Christ, seated with Him in heavenly places, and you are now a co-heir with Christ. Hallelujah. That means you have the right now to inherit all the promises that are in the book. So if it's there, it's a promise, it's for you. It's not based on how well you behave or if you're performing well enough. Is anybody performing well enough to inherit the promises? Oh, well then. We need to recognize that because of the grace of the Lord Jesus, we've been made co-heirs with Christ, and therefore we are heirs of the promises. Yes, anyway, just wanted to establish that so that you're with me. Hallelujah. So, He makes all things work together for my good. Can you say that? Do you believe it? All right, if you believe that, when a circumstance comes against you, you can begin to dream about what it's going to look like when God makes this work together for your good. Hallelujah. He says in Isaiah 61 that for your former shame, pain, and disgrace, I will give you double recompense. So when you've got something come against you, you've got some dishonor come against you, you've got some pain that's happened, you can begin to dream about what's this going to look like, double back. Hallelujah. This is really good. Like, you need to get a little bit more excited. Hallelujah. Child, help me. I'm jet lagging. This has really helped me. Because this used to be one of my biggest struggles. When I'd begin to have something unjust happen, I'd be fighting about it in my head. I'd be stressing about it. I'd be talking about it to people. And now I recognize that that is just an Eliab trap. It's a trap that's designed to get my attention, to get my focus, and get me off track. My life is very precious. It's like a breath, the Bible says. My life is not my own. It's been bought with a price. I'm not going to waste my time fighting fights that I'm not called to. God wants us to fight the good fight of faith, and we need to cast down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. No matter how just your cause may seem, you need to recognize that it is not your job to fight it in the flesh, but to recognize and begin to fight it with the fight of faith that puts your hope in His promises. So what's it going to look like when it comes back double? Hallelujah. We had somebody try and come against us once. I mean, I was thinking about it today. I could have so many examples of how God has turned things around for me. When people have tried to stop me, God has caused it to come back double. When people have criticized me, I mean, I have people, I've got someone who's even made an YouTube about me on the internet, never met me in their life, to criticize me. They've never even been in one of my meetings. It's a message of love to all of Catherine Ranala's followers. Tom let me watch about 20 seconds and he said, "That's enough. Not healthy for my heart. Don't go watching it either. We don't want it to go off any further in the Google." But I immediately, you know, as soon as that sort of stuff comes against me, I now recognize that this is going to be really good. God is going to give me double honor in the internet. Hallelujah. And you know what? We got YouTube videos now where YouTube want to pay us to advertise because we're getting so many hits. Hallelujah. God is giving us supernatural, extraordinary favor with the live stream. Hello, live stream. We did turn it back on, right? Yes. Hello, live stream. Hallelujah. And it's true. When people come against you, you can, instead of fighting back, you can go to God and say, "Thank you, Lord, for your promise. You make all things work together for our good. I forgive that person because you've already forgiven them. I don't even have to find it in myself to forgive them. I just give them the forgiveness that you've given them. Hooray, because it's no longer me that lives, but you who lives. And your forgiveness is really good, so we just give them your forgiveness, God." That's another really good key there, if you didn't catch that. I have struggled for, like, weeks and weeks and weeks trying to find forgiveness in my heart for somebody. And you know what? It's really hard to find in your own flesh forgiveness for somebody that really doesn't deserve it. And I'll think I've forgiven them, and then I'll think about it again. I'm angry about that. I found another answer. If you're feeling like you can't find the forgiveness to give them, stop trying to find it and recognize that it's already been given and just get in that flow. Hallelujah. He actually forgave them before they even did it. You see, we don't have to love with our love. We don't have to forgive with our forgiveness. We've just got to live with His life. Get on the program. It's much easier. Hallelujah. Jump in the flow. You can live down here and struggle and try. I'm trying to live. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to forgive. I'm trying to love. And God says, just give up. Just give up. Stop trying and recognize that you can enter the rest of faith where my life is. Hallelujah. This is very good preaching. Hallelujah. It's in the book. You can live. Has anybody tried to live down here? Where you're trying to do all the right stuff, you're trying to qualify for the promises, and then you never feel like you make it, and then you feel bad because you're not even walking in forgiveness, like you just can't even do the basics. God, oh no! All these promises for the righteous, and there's no way I'm going to live up for that. I used to read the Psalms like that. I'd go, huh? That would be a great promise, but rats, you know, I don't feel like I qualify for that one. Hallelujah. That we don't have to live in our strength or in our righteousness, but we have His righteousness and we can just jump into that. Hallelujah. We don't have to give anything we haven't first received. We love because He first loved us. We forgive because we're forgiven. And He's got lots to give. Much better. Much better. Hallelujah. You know, there's whole movements designed to try and help you down here. It's true. Let's get in and we'll pray about this. And it's like, just give up. Just give up. Give up and get in to Him. Hallelujah. If you're getting mad, just let it go. Jesus loves me, this I know. Hallelujah. Yeah, and He tells me personally too. Hallelujah. He says, God, I'm going to cry out to You, You who fulfilled Your purpose for me. Hallelujah. You know, God has such a purpose and a plan and a destiny for your life. And we don't even have to try and make sure that that happens. We just need to, now, hear me carefully. I'm not saying that you just do nothing. I'm saying that you get in there and you fight the fight of faith. Hallelujah. You stop worrying and fussing. Am I in the will of God? Is He going to fulfill His purposes? Just let it go and get into His presence and recognize, yes, You, God, You fulfill Your purposes for me. You're the one that gives me the desires of my heart. You're the one, oh God, that puts it in my heart in the first place. And You who purposed it will also do it. Lord, I celebrate and I trust in You. And I just jump into the flow of Your river. And I'm not going to be fussed and worried about anything because You are taking good care of me. You make all things work together for my good. Hallelujah. It's really good. Don't get mad at me and say, well, how could you say that? I can say that not because I'm perfect, not because I'm living up to the promise to be able to qualify for it. I am just exceptionally loved by Jesus because He actually gave His very life for me. And He did it for you too. Here I am, His favorite one. You are too. Hallelujah. You are the magnificently loved of God. Hallelujah. You are the reward of His suffering. Hallelujah. You are His most precious apple of His eye. You, when He looks at you, He is so entirely for you. He doesn't look at you and go, still not perfect. He doesn't. Yet so often we believe that. If we believed that, He'd be angry with everybody all the time. He looks at you and says, I've given them my perfection. I've given them my love. I've given them my righteousness. Aren't they beautiful? Angels, look. Look, look, they came out to worship me tonight. Aren't they lovely? Oh, look, they just woke up. Look at them. They're so beautiful. You don't even have to do anything to have His delight over you. He looks at you because you have received His mercy. He celebrates and recognizes this is victory. Hallelujah. Look at this. Hallelujah. They've received my mercy. They've received my love and they love me back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God wants to send His love and faithfulness to you. We have a free will. We can choose to fight it on our own. We can choose to struggle and to get into the fray and to respond and retaliate. But God wants you to recognize that His goodness towards you has set you free from the struggle with sin. Hallelujah. He sets you free from any of these things that you feel that you have to fight and do. He says, why don't you just step into me? Recognize, hallelujah, that it's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in me. Hallelujah. I in you, you in me together. I don't expect you to do this on your own. Take my strength, flow with me, and I will give you everything you need. I will fulfill my purposes for you if you will just trust in me. Hallelujah. If we'll let go and let God, God will do His extraordinary things. He's so faithful. He's so faithful. I war with the prophetic promises spoken over me. 1 Timothy 1:18 says, wage warfare, my son Timothy, with the prophetic promises spoken over you. Because he talks about people suffering shipwreck who haven't waged war. Have a look at it there. You know, all of the Israelites had the same promise, but only two inherited them because only two said, yes, God is with us. God is for us. He is able. The rest looked at themselves and went, look at the big giants. We're pathetic. We can't do this. And they missed out on the promise and the prophetic destiny. That was their choice. But you can choose to go, yes, I just believe that He really is for me, not because of how I've behaved, but because He gave His life for me. And the good news of the gospel is that He rescued a wretch like me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He made me magnificent. He made me glorious because of His amazing goodness. Hallelujah. And now I trust that He loves me and He's for me. Hallelujah. And that He is my ever-present help in time of need. Hallelujah. My time of need is all the time. And so He's with me all the time to help me all the time. Hallelujah. We can just fly in His glory, in His presence. Or we can struggle on the ground if you like. I know what's more fun, and I would highly recommend that you do too. Jump in and let God give you what He needs to give you, what He wants to give you. Let Him help you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your promises, oh God. Lord, we cry out to you who fulfills your purposes for us. We say, yes, you are for us. Who can be against us? I pray that the Holy Spirit would just begin to quicken to you the promises He's spoken over your life. And that if you're in an unjust situation where you're facing some injustice, I pray that the Holy Spirit will help you to begin to imagine what it's going to look like. Double back. What it's going to look like when God makes that work together for your good so that you can celebrate in His faithfulness. Hallelujah. Magnificent Jesus. Holy, holy, holy.